This is Focus West Michigan for Tuesday, September 8, 2026. I'm Joe Bilecki with your local news. Despite a pending lawsuit from Zeeland Township, the developer of a proposed 200-megawatt solar farm in Ottawa County is hosting two public meetings this week. WGVU's David Limbaugh has the latest on the Silver Maple Solar Project.
Germany-based energy company RWE would operate the proposed $300 million Silver Maple Solar Farm spanning 1,900 acres in Zeeland and Jamestown townships. It has secured 52 private leases, 60% of those located in Zeeland Township. In response, Zeeland Township filed a lawsuit claiming Public Act 233, which allows renewable energy developers to bypass local government approval, is unconstitutional. RWE filed documents with the Michigan Public Service Commission earlier this year, which has final say in renewable energy projects. Since it was announced in 2025, the project has received pushback from some area residents concerned about the loss of farmland, environmental impacts, and aesthetic issues. An RWE spokesperson has stated that the project would create 250 temporary construction jobs, power 34,000 homes, and generate over $31 million in tax revenue. The first public meeting will take place on September 10th at 5:30 p.m. at the Drenth Grove Dozman Center. The second meeting is September 11th at 5:30 p.m. at Patmos Library. I'm David Limbaugh.
Tech Week Grand Rapids kicks off Monday, bringing together tech leaders, entrepreneurs, and community members highlighting regional innovation. WGVU's Dee Morrison has the preview.
Tech Week Grand Rapids attracts more than 15,000 attendees to over 160 events. Economic development group The Right Place partners with more than 300 local companies, creators, colleges, and community organizations to host workshops, panels, and seminars for the West Michigan region.
One of the core tenets with Tech Week this year is that we want to do demonstrations and we want to teach people the how-tos.
Andrea Romkema is Senior Vice President of Business Development at The Right Place.
No longer do we want to just talk about theory and what could we do with this. We want it to be very practical and applicable to people's roles so that they can come to Tech Week as professional development and leave with new skills.
Programming targets key regional sectors like healthcare and advanced manufacturing, but offers specialized content across various fields.
A lot of those events are also putting a spotlight on some of the amazing work that companies in our region are doing. We have companies who are literally going to be saving lives with this new technology, and it's pretty impressive to see.
Events run Monday, September 14th through Saturday, September 19th. Details on the Tech Week Grand Rapids website. I'm Dee Morrison.
For the past 50 years, Allegan has paid Ottawa County to handle criminal cases in three City of Holland precincts that are in Allegan County, but WGVU's Phil Dawson reports that arrangement is ending because the counties no longer agree on compensation.
They terminated the contract. Give us 90-day notice.
Allegan County Prosecutor Michael Viller says shortly after he took office last year, Ottawa County wanted to renegotiate and get paid more to handle crimes committed in the three City of Holland precincts that are in Allegan County.
We had a contract that was signed just before I came into office. Within a year, they'd asked to renegotiate that contract and substantially raise the price that we paid.
In at least one case, Viller says there was disagreement on the law. Ottawa decided there was not enough evidence to prosecute a woman accused of stealing from a store in an Allegan County precinct. He objected.
Ottawa County declined to prosecute that case, and I was informed in no uncertain terms that they were not going to do that. If we wanted to do it, we'd have to do it ourselves. We did, and the woman pled guilty. Now the store owner has restitution.
Allegan County staff handling City of Holland criminal cases will work out of the Holland Police Station.
We asked Ottawa County, can we have just a room in your building so that when we're there, we have some place to go? And they said, no. The police chief there has agreed to give us a room in the police department.
The new arrangement starts October 1st.
I think, actually, that it's better for our Allegan County citizens to have an Allegan County prosecutor be there.
I'm Phil Dawson.
Community Mental Health of Ottawa County has been awarded a multi-million-dollar federal grant expanding crisis stabilization and early diversion services. WGVU's David Limbaugh has the details.
Community Mental Health of Ottawa County was awarded a $3 million early diversion grant from the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration, a federal organization. The funding supports CMHOC's efforts to strengthen and improve the county's behavioral health response by providing individuals experiencing a mental health crisis with support and connections to care. Early diversion systems allow mental health care workers to connect residents with appropriate behavioral health services before a crisis escalates to an emergency or justice system involvement. The grant will also allow CMHOC to continue utilizing mobile crisis response units and the Diversion Deflection and Recovery Team. In August, Ottawa County voters approved renewing the community mental health millage, which will raise $5.7 million per year over the next 10 years. That millage has served nearly 22,000 residents over the past decade. I'm David Limbaugh.
Coming up soon, WGVU's Dee Morrison talks to author Mark Osatch about prioritizing FaceTime over screen time, but first, news from around the state. A day after an armed man charged at an Ohio Democratic candidate for governor at a campaign stop at a local fair, candidates were marching in Detroit's annual Labor Day parade. Jocelyn Benson is the Democrat running for Michigan governor. She says she's glad Amy Acton was uninjured. But Benson also expressed concern about how political rhetoric may be fueling political violence.
It is a sobering reminder, the consequence of the noise, the rhetoric, the hateful rhetoric that oftentimes even the president himself spews. In this moment, we all have to recognize the importance of seeing each other as humans in civility and keeping people safe.
Democratic Congresswoman Debbie Dingell, a veteran of decades of political campaigns, says this weekend's incident in Ohio will not deter her from meeting with voters. A coalition of business groups from across Michigan says President Trump's tariffs are hitting the state especially hard. The nonpartisan Michigan Smart Trade Alliance has long fought for strengthening the state's relationship with Canada. But the group's Mark Fisk says the tit-for-tat tariff battle between the U.S. and Canada is impacting more than just goods and produce.
It's hurt our tourism industry because we've had reduced foot traffic because some of the trade wars and the tensions between ourselves and Canada. And that tourism industry fuels mom-and-pop businesses like restaurants, hotels, motels. The current trade policy has been a disaster for Michigan families.
Fisk argues that Congress must limit the president's use of tariffs. Canada is set on Tuesday to launch a series of tariffs on U.S. goods, including some steel, paper, and agricultural products, in response to Trump's recent 50% levies against the nation's neighbor to the north. Focus West Michigan is made for all, powered by you. To support this show and everything we do here, visit WGVUnews.org and click the donate button. And for a weekly dose of news right to your inbox, sign up for the WGVU newsletter. As kids head back to school, smartphones are putting family time to the test. WGVU's Dee Morrison spoke with Michigan author Mark Osatch about creating new rules prioritizing FaceTime over screen time.
We're talking about distractions and cell phones and trying to stay connected. Can you tell me a little bit about why this topic hits home right now?
Absolutely. I think parents everywhere are burning through the back-to-school supply checklist with pencils and permission slips and fundraisers and all the things. And oftentimes we're forgetting to put our attention on the list of something we need to focus on and cultivate. And I think as we buzz into 2026, between the level of distraction and AI creeping into our daily rituals, we're finding ourselves moving faster, and oftentimes our presence is becoming an endangered part of our day. So my heart is really just teaching families and organizations how to reclaim presence in the age of distraction.
And your book, The Gift of Connection, talks about reclaiming that. How can parents focus on that with their kids in the middle of all the other busyness of life?
Yeah, just to set the stage, the average 18-year-old today, if they live to be 80, 21 of those years will be spent on a screen. That's not good or bad. And my book and my work isn't about anti-technology. It's just to suggest if that's the life that our children will live, how do we equip them to be responsible digital citizens? And I think that as parents, one of the best things we can do, and we know this from our parents, is to model the behaviors we expect out of our kids. So if your kid walks in the door from school and you're on your phone and they're just wanting to kind of unpack their backpack and their day, but your eyes are down at your screen, they're going to feel that and they're going to kind of call you out on that, or maybe they'll just dismiss their day and they'll walk into the room and play video games or grab a bite to eat. So as parents, we really need to tune in on how our digital behaviors impact our children's ability to see that they're feeling heard. One of the best things we can do as parents is just to create some space when the kids transition back from school and talk to them.
One of the ideas that you touch on is that schools in various states, including Michigan, are cracking down on cell phone use in school. So the kids are getting maybe a break from that at school to some degree. How do we continue that focus once they walk back through our doors?
Yeah, for sure. You know, my book, The Gift of Connection, is really an extension of some of the work from 2024 and 5 around the anxious generation with Jonathan Haidt's work. And what we're seeing is that we need to be mindful of the long-term impact of cell phones and screens, not just on our mental health, but the fabric of our shared culture of family and culture at work. So one of the things that I'm always encouraging families is to consider, like, can we create some sacred space? And for our family here in Clarkston, Michigan, it's usually that like 5 o'clock to 8 o'clock. And that's when we're eating dinner, going to and from soccer and dance and all the things, but we're trying to be mindful. Can this be sacred space where we're not using our phones, or if they're around us, they're in our back pockets or purses shut off? And if so, can we teach our children that these are the hours that we're just going to be together and witness as conversations are had that wouldn't have happened if our attention was fragmented across the screen and the person in front of us?
So as you said, the answer isn't getting rid of technology, but rather finding its appropriate place in our family life.
You got it. And one of the core concepts of the book is a law called Mark's Law. And Mark's Law suggests that our attention span decreases by 2 seconds every 10 years. So from 2000 to 2010, minus 2 seconds, all the way to 2000 and nearly 30. As we approach that in the coming years, our attention span is being diminished by 2 seconds each decade. And when you think about that compounding like interest in the bank, you begin to wonder, how do we practice the art of being present? And it's hard. Heart rates are up, you know, stress is high. Those lists always have more things to check than you have time to do. So really finding a way to slow things down, still be a pro technology family, but go more for conversation and one-on-one connection, and watch how that kind of balances out this digital era that we live in.
Is it really about being deliberate about when you use technology rather than letting it sort of creep in everywhere?
Yeah, you know, I think one of the things, and I call it secondhand distraction. And, you know, I'm a child of the 80s. So back in restaurants, they'd have the non-smoking sections, which were right next to the smoking sections. And the same thing is with technology. And they often say that, you know, scrolling is the new smoking. But when you're in a place where, let's say, my wife and I are in the car picking up the kids because our kids are still in elementary school and middle school. But when we're in the car and the kids walk in the car to talk to us about our day, if I'm tuned into the road and my wife's kind of catching up on her digital chores, our attention's divided. And her focus on the phone handling, you know, the next grocery store order or Amazon school supply, the kids feel that. And I feel that, like secondhand smoke kind of wafting in the car. And trust me, there's times when she's driving and I'm on my phone. So it's not about, you know, her versus me or you versus them. It's really just to say, hey, can we be all in together? Can we be all in together and not let secondhand distraction cloud our connection?
And this is the time with sort of resetting schedules and focus back to school. It's a good time to reset those distractions.
That's right. Every season that changes, and we all know this living here in the great state of Michigan, the football, high school football lights, you can feel the fall in the air. This is a great opportunity to say, hey, what is our family going to do different? How are we going to cultivate new rhythms and new routines that double down on our ability to be present with one another? And as you know, time is fleeting, and the best present we can give each other is our presence. You know, I'll just say oftentimes, it takes a couple questions to get to the heart of where someone's at. And when my 9-year-old daughter is beginning to tell me her day, sometimes those first few sentences sound like it's just a busybody in a fourth grade mind sharing all the details of the day. But when I'm present, and sometimes I'm not, When I am present and I kind of get to the heart of what she's saying, it oftentimes leads to wisdom she's imparting to me on my day as her dad. And I think some of that sacred connection gets lost when we're just trying to jump to the next activity or the next conversation. So really, really, really using your breath, using your body language, and just waiting to uncover what it is that your son or daughter might be sharing from school takes a little time. So be patient with yourself, warm up, and just watch what happens.
I'm Dee Morrison.
This has been Focus West Michigan from WGVU for Tuesday, September 8, 2026. I'm Joe Bilecki. Our audio operations manager is Rick Bierling, and our news and public affairs director is Patrick Center. Don't forget to like and subscribe, and we'll be back with more news and events in West Michigan tomorrow. Thanks for listening.